This year is dedicated for the yard site of the mother of our friend Adrian Magenzo, Ruth Esther Bat Yitzchak, Le'ilui Nishmata. We're going to speak today about bitachon, fear, yira, and ishtadlut, making effort to improve one's lot. Parshas Dvarim, and throughout Sefer Dvarim, actually yira, fear, terror, is a common theme. The Jews are worried about the various battles, and they were worried about the ones they had already fought at the time. They were worried against Sichon and Og, and they were worried about future battles they were going to fight against Eretz Canaan. And throughout Sefer Dvarim, throughout Parshas Dvarim, we have repeated mentions of Hashem, Moshe, telling the Jews that they might be worried, they should not be worried. Right at the beginning of Parshas Dvarim, it says that Moshe is relating the history against Og, and he says that we were nearing Eretz Israel. Og Melech HaBashan set out against us with his whole nation, La Milchama. Yomer Hashem Elai, Al Tiro. So don't be afraid of him. I'm gonna give him over to you. And sure enough, that's what happened. Hashem gave the Jews victory over Og, and they won the battle. Later, it says Moshe says, I have commanded Yoshua. He says, you've seen everything that Hashem did for you against these two malachim, Sichon and Og, the two kings. Ken yaseh Hashem l'cholam amlachos, so too will Hashem do against all the kingdoms, Asher atah v'sham, all the kingdoms of Canaan that you're going to fight against, lo tiro'um. Don't be afraid of them, ki Hashem elokechem, hu amelchem lachem, Hashem will fight your battle for you. Later, Moshe is discussing the terrible sin of the Meraglim. The Jews didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. They said, the Jews said, what are we going to do? The Meraglim came back with this terrifying report of the power, the might, the terror of the inhabitants of Eretz Canaan. They live in great cities, fortified cities, and they're giants. And I told you, Moshe said, I told you then, lo ta'artzun v'lo tiru mehem. Do not be afraid. Don't collapse. Don't let your morale be shattered. Again, Hashem will be with you. Hashem alokechem, ha'alech lefnechem. Hashem, who travels before you, he'll help you win against these, he sent the Amanana and the Amanet. Hashem did all the miracles for you. He'll help you beat the inhabitants of Canaan. But unfortunately, back then, in the time of the Meraglim, the Jews did not listen and they suffered terrible punishments. Again, we have later, in Perek Zion, it says, Kiso mar b'levavcha, maybe you'll say, when you enter Eretz Canaan, you'll say in your heart, Rabim b'gayim ha'ele, they're numerous, they're more numerous than we are, Echa ucha la'arisham, how will we be able to expel them, to defeat them? Lo tira mehem, again, Hashem says, do not be afraid. Remember, Zohar Tiskar, what Hashem did to Paro, to Mitzrayim, the great miracles, Hamasos HaGedolos, the Osos, the Mofsim, the Yad HaChazakah, the Dra Netuya. So too will Hashem continue to do for you in your campaign in Eretz Canaan, and you'll be okay. Again, Hashem says, "Lo saro tufrehem, do not be afraid. Don't collapse. Don't fold in front of the non-Jews, in front of the enemies. Hashem elokecha b'kirbecha kel gadol v'nora. Hashem is mighty and fearsome and powerful. Don't be afraid of the non-Jews." Once again, Parsha Shoftim, it says the Torah relates the procedures of how the Jews began battle. So it says when you begin a battle against the enemy, you'll see Suas Varechev, chariots, horses, Amrav, great multitudes of people. So lo tira mehem, Hashem says again, don't be afraid. Hashem elokecha imach amalchem eretz Yisrael. Again, the Torah always says, don't be afraid. The Torah always gives the reason why you shouldn't be afraid is because the same God who took you out of Mitzrayim and you saw what he can do in the past, you saw all the powerful things, all the miracles, all the great victories that you had in the past, Hashem will continue to be on your side. And so on, the Torah goes on. It says the Kohen makes a speech, makes a series of announcements and questions before the war. He tells you, Atem krev mayom lamelchama laivechem, today you are going to engage the enemy in combat. And he says, Al yerech levavchem, don't let your heart be soft, be scared. Al tiru, al tachpazu, al tartu mpneim, many different languages, many different expressions of not being afraid. Al tiru, don't be afraid. Al tachpazu, don't be terrified. Al tartu, don't be shattered. Don't let your morale collapse. Again, the same argument. Hashem, your God, is traveling with you. Will make you victorious. So I want to discuss today several related things. First of all, I want to discuss the theology of Yira. Yira, of course, the opposite of Yira is Bitachon. The a very central, one of the most central values of Judaism is bitachon, being secure in Hashem's power and Hashem's help. So the theology of Yira versus bitachon. Why is a person afraid? Why does he have bitachon? How does he bring himself to bitachon? And just what's the frame of mind in which a person is supposed to be? How does he avoid the Yira? What does bitachon mean? These are deep and difficult questions. The questions are a lot better than the answers. We're not going to be able to do the topic justice, but I want to at least discuss some of the basic approaches to these questions, and also practical questions. I also want to discuss some of the halachic issues. There are actual formal mitzvahs involved here, what a person is allowed to do, what he's not allowed to do, what he's supposed to fail, what he's not supposed to fail. Aside from the hashkafa and the theology, I want to discuss some of the formal halacha involved in these ideas of yira and bitacha. So the first thing to note is that we have a very interesting machlokes rishonim. These repeated commandments of the Torah, lo tira'um, lo tira'mehem, lo tartzun, lo techbezun, the Torah repeatedly says, don't be afraid, don't be scared, don't give up, don't collapse, don't be terrified. Is this actually a mitzvah or not? So we have a very interesting machlokes rishonim. The Rambam says that this is actually a mitzvah. It's one of the Tariq mitzvahs. The Rambam says, mitzvah lo sasein nun ches, the 58th mitzvah, 58th negative commandment. The Rambam says, shehizheiranu miliro es hakofrim, we are commanded, we are forbidden from being afraid of the deniers, the heretics, the enemies. Mishas Muhammad, the Rambam understands this is a specific mitzvah in the time of battle not to be afraid. Milara to pneum and to collapse, to give up in front of the enemy. Ella, it's a mitzvah, it's a chova, it's an obligation, l'hisameit, to be strong, l'hischazek, to strengthen yourself. V'lan b'shur satava. These are ideas which are relevant in today, in the situation in Eretz Yisrael, that it's the duty of the soldier to keep his morale up, to be strong, to be tough, and not to give in, not to let his morale be low in the face of the enemy. The Rambam says very bluntly, "Kol hanosog upone la'achar." Anyone who retreats and turns around and turns his back on the enemy is over al lo sase. He violates a negative commandment. He brings several of these tukim, lo sarot b'fnehem, lo tira'um. Kafalayin. Many times the Torah says, as he says, the mitzvah is lo larotz, v'shalo lefanos la'achar. He shouldn't turn around. He shouldn't turn tail and run. Bish b'shas mulchama, in the time of war. Now, as you can see from the language of the Rambam is not just discussing an abstract state of mind. He's not just discussing psychologically, internally, how you should feel. The Rambam is very concerned with the morale of the army and with the idea of flight, of terror, of turning around. The Rambam is only partly interested in your internal state of mind. What he's worried is the practical consequences, that if your morale is not high, you won't fight well. You'll run, you'll turn tail, you won't do a proper job, and you may actually lose the war. And in the Sefer Yad HaChazakah, where he explains in Hilchos Malachim, he explains at length the halachas and the procedures of Jewish war. So he elaborates on this at length, and clearly the focus is on the danger that bad morale can have for the army. First, he says, the Torah says that the Kohen makes certain speeches before the Muhammad. One of the things he says is, anyone who is Yorei Varach Halevav, anyone who is soft-hearted, is not staunch enough against the enemy, should go home. The Kohen says, Mihayish. Mihayesh ayare v'rachaleva, of anyone who's afraid and whose heart is soft, is not strong. Yelech v'yashuv l'beiso, he should return home, he should not remain in the line of battle. V'lo yimasuk l'vavachim kilavava. Why? So again, the Torah stresses that it's not just because we don't like him, it's because we're afraid that his bad morale will spread to the other soldiers and will apparently lead to negative effects. And that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says the Kohen tells everyone, anyone who is afraid, anyone who's not brave enough, Shame. The Rambam's poetic language is, Shame belibo koach lamad b'kishrei hamelchama. His heart is not staunch enough to remain firm in the knot of battle, in the heat of battle. Should go home. But anyone who stays, he says, me'achashi koneh b'kishrei hamelchama, anyone who remains and enters battle, Yishayin al mikveh Yisrael Moshiach. He should have bitachon. He should lean on, rely on the hope of Yisrael, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beis Tzara. V'yeda, he should understand. Shal Yichud Hashem, who osim Muhammad. He's waging war for the unity of God, for God, for Israel, for the Torah. The Yasim Nafsho Bekapo, he should risk his life, he should not be timid. And again, Velo Yira, he should not be afraid. Velo Yafachet, he should not be terrified. Velo Yachshov, he shouldn't think. Velo Be'ishto, Velo Be'bana, he shouldn't think about his family. He shouldn't start making all kinds of thoughts that will get him scared. Eli Mocha Zichrona Milibo, very strong language. He should eradicate any thought of them from his heart. He should focus solely, exclusively on the battle. V'yifnem he called Darvar L'Molchama. Now the Rambam says, he talks about the lav, the averi. He says, Kol ha-maskel lachshov u'laharher m'lchamu mavil atzmo over below zaseh. Anyone who begins to think about other things which will damage his morale, which will damage his single-minded focus on the battle, he violates the lozaseh. Shenemar al yerech levavchem. The Torah says, do not do this. Do not allow your heart to be soft. Al tiru, al tachbazu, al tartu b'fneim. Below Od, the Rambam says, not only are you over a lav, Elisha called me Israel, Tluyin B'Tavaro. All the blood of Israel is laid at your door. If the Jews suffer a loss because of your bad performance, it's your fault. Vimlo Natzach, if you're not victorious, Vlo Asim Melchama, V'chalibo V'chal Nafsho, if you don't devote yourself wholeheartedly to the battle, Hareze Kamish Shofik Nakol, you're like a murderer. The Rambam takes this very, very seriously. It's your fault. If your morale, bad morale, spreads to them, you are responsible for the loss of the battle. He goes on. Anyone who does devote himself to the battle properly, call him Nilcham B'chalibo. Anyone who fights with his whole heart, below pachad, without fear, and his intention is l'kaddish et Hashem, to make a kiddush Hashem, muftach lo, Hashem promises him, shlo yimso nezek, he'll be okay. Lo tagiyu ra, nothing bad will happen to him. And the Rambam goes on, giving you brachas, yivnu l'bayis nachon b'Yisrael, v'yizkelo l'banav ad olam, v'yizkel l'chai el haba, etc., etc. That's the Rambam. So the Rambam understands that it's a lav d'oraisa, against being scared, against being terrified, and because it leads to bad morale, and apparently because it leads to defeat, it leads to the not fighting to the best of their ability. Rabbeinu Yonah and the Sha'ar Tshuva also understands it's a lav. Rabbeinu Yonah, though, generalizes the lav and says it's a general lav against not having bitachon. It's a general lav that a person should rely on Hashem and not be scared. He says the mitzvah is, he brings other psukim, it says, this pasuk of Kisetzel Melchama, you should not be afraid. It says, Shem Yirah Adam Kitzara Krova, whenever a person sees any sort of problem in general, any tzara is approaching, Tia Yeshua Hashem Belavavo, this is what we call bitachon, he should focus on, contemplate that Hashem's salvation is near. Yiftach Aleh, you should have bitachon. And he brings the pasuk and tell him, Ach Karov Li Reya of Yeshua. Hashem's salvation is close to those who fear him. V'chein Kasuv and Yeshaya, I think it's one of the haftaras of the Nechama that we're going to read soon. Mi'at v'tiri me'enosh yomus. Why should we be afraid? Hashem can take care of us. Rabbeinu Yonah also understands that there is a lav d'oraisa, a person should not be afraid. He should be boteach, he should trust in Hashem and not be afraid. The Ramban wrote Hasagas, glosses, emendations to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. He disagreed with some of the Rambam's interpretations, and this is one of them. The Ramban did not feel this is a mitzvah. Ramban says, very briefly, it's a havtacha, it's a promise. Hashem is saying, lo tira, don't be afraid, I'll take care of you. Hashem is just telling him, you don't have to be afraid. He's telling the Jews, don't worry about it, I'm with you. But it's not actually a mitzvah. That is the opinion of the Ramban. Now the truth is, both the Rambam and the Ramban are hard to understand. They ask on the Ramban, and we say from Megillas Esther, which was a commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam and the Ramban, Megillas Esther and other Akharim point out, how can there be a promise that nobody's going to be hurt? People do get killed in wars. Historically, in the Jewish wars, people did get killed. Even the ones where they were victorious, they vanquished larger hosts, but generally, people got killed. As a matter of fact, when the Torah says the speech the Kohen gives to the people before the war, so besides saying besides telling people to go home if they don't have sufficient morale, he also tells them anyone who's built a house, anyone who's gotten married, anyone who's planted a kerem should go home. The Torah says, the language is, anyone who's built a bayis chadosh v'locha nacho, yelech v'yashiv l'beiso, shall return home. Pen yomas v'mulchama, maybe he's going to die. The kerem also, mihayesh ha-shanata kerem v'lochillo, yelech v'yashiv l'beiso, pen yomas v'mulchama. He may die. So the Kohen is telling the people right now, people may die in this war. Someone who got married, Eres Isha below the Kacha, he made Erusin, not Nisuin yet. Pen Yamas and Muhammad, you should go home. Pen Yamas and Muhammad. So the Kohen is telling them, black and white, people are going to die in this war. So how can the Torah say, I promise you, you're going to be okay? You're not going to be okay. I mean, maybe you'll be okay. Most of you will be okay. Usually you'll be okay, but not always. People die in wars. And we really have to understand the Rambam too. The Rambam says, there's a lav d'oraisa. The Torah commands us very strongly, repeatedly, don't be afraid, Hashem is with you. What do you mean don't be afraid? People die in wars, why shouldn't I be afraid? The rational, sensible thing to do is to be afraid. I mean, hopefully you live, and you can try to look at the optimistic side, but how can you be so sure you're going to live? People don't always live. And this takes us to the core of what bitachon is. What does it mean to have bitachon? David HaMelech and Tehillim, throughout Tehillim, is always talking about how he's Batech and Hashem, Mizmer LeDavid, Hashem Roi Lo Echsar, I will not lack anything, Binos Desha Yar Bitzeni, Alei Menucho Kina Aleini. We say, LeDavid Hashem Ari V'yishim, Mimi Yira, Hashem Boaz Chai Mimi Efkot, I'm not afraid. Sorry, Ba'ai Ba'li, Himakar B'nefalu, Im Tachna Alei Machna, Lo Yira Libi. If a whole host of enemies is camped around me, Lo Yira Libi, I'm not afraid. Why are you not afraid? Sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, but you lose also. So what is it that makes you not afraid? How do you be not afraid? What is the rationale for not being afraid? As we noted earlier, in all these psukim throughout Sefer Dvarim, when Hashem tells the Jewish people, don't be afraid, he keeps reminding them that he did all the nisim for them in Mitzrayim, and throughout the Midbar, the Mon, and Hashem did tremendous nisim for the Jews throughout the Midbar. That's true, but there are nisim, but we don't always have nisim. Unfortunately, throughout Klal Yisrael's history, there were many times that battles did not go so well. Even when they did, there were still people who died. Maybe that was because of sin, maybe there are other reasons, but the fact is, it's not rational to, it doesn't seem rational to be convinced, to be 100% sure that you're going to win the war. So, a related question, which we have to understand also, is fear. You know, emotions are not conscious decisions. We don't generally get up in the morning, think, do I want to be afraid or not? Well, being afraid is bad for my, it'll make me depressed, so I'm not going to be afraid. Some people do think like that, but in general, emotions are involuntary. A person feels the way he feels based on the situation. Today we have a whole industry of self-help books. They try to teach you how not to be afraid or how to have positive thoughts, but in general, you know, realistically, how people feel is not something that is completely up to them consciously. How does the Torah even tell you not to be afraid? Being afraid is just a natural state of affairs. If you know that the enemy is larger than you, more numerous than you, it's a matias. A person is afraid. So we actually have an interesting discussion by the Abarbanel, who tries to explain how the Torah can tell you not to be afraid. He's dealing with this question. How can the Torah tell you to make a decision not to be afraid? It's just a fact. If they're stronger than you, you're going to be afraid. He acknowledges that. He says, absolutely. You can't just tell somebody not to be afraid. You can't tell somebody to have an emotion. That's why, he says, the Torah always, as we noted several times, the Torah always, whenever it tells you don't be afraid, the Torah always gives you a reason why not to be afraid. The Torah says, don't be afraid because we have, Hashem is with you. Hashem, you've seen all the nisim Hashem does, so he'll continue doing nisim for you. So, yeah, that's somewhat of an answer. The reason the Torah expects you not to be afraid is because you can make a rational counter-argument. When one part of your head tells you they outnumber us 10-1, you answer yourself, well, so did Paro when Hashem destroyed Paro. So that's true as far as it goes, but at the end of the day, the fact is we know that historically we don't always have Siyata Dishmaya, even if we did in the time of the Nevi'im. Even then, they didn't always have Siyata Dishmaya for the sins or for other reasons, and certainly today, we know as a fact that we don't always have Siyata Dishmaya. We just had the Holocaust 50 years ago. We have wars in Israel where soldiers die. So again, there can be 1,000 reasons why. You can have 1,000 theological explanations for why, but at the end of the day, realistically, if you're a betting man, you're not going to bet money that everyone is going to live, because you know that it's not likely to happen. So it really doesn't completely answer the question, how exactly, why shouldn't a person be afraid? It's logical, it's rational to be afraid. And you know, I apologize, but I am not going to have a very good answer for this question. The Stipler, Yisrael Yaakov Kanievsky, as I say, for Birchas Pera Tal Torah, he spends a lot of time on this point. He says, when the Rambam says, don't be afraid, it's a lav d'oraisa, a biblical negative commandment, not to be afraid, he basically articulates this question very, very sharply, very critically. He says, when the Torah tells us not to be afraid, he says, what does that mean? Why shouldn't we be afraid? He says, does the Torah mean we should have bitachon that we will win? We should actually believe that we will win? Or he says, the Torah means, no. The Torah acknowledges you may not win. The Torah acknowledges you may die. And that's a perfectly legitimate fear. The Torah is telling you that a person should just not care, should not consider that. He should believe that he's doing it for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, Kiddush Shem Shemayim. And he should be so happy, he should be so devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he doesn't mind. He's willing to do the will of God. He's willing to Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. Like the famous story, I guess, of Rabbi Akiva, it says that when the Romans were torturing him to death, his Talmidim were, he was happy. His Talmidim were very sad for him, were obviously horrified for him, and he was happy. So he said, all my life, I was looking forward to the time where it says, V'haftas Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levavcho, v'chol nafshecho, v'chol modecha, that you should love Hashem with all your soul, even if he's... Chazal famously understood that to mean, even if it takes away your soul, Rabbi Akiva was just ecstatic about finally being able to be mekayim this idea of giving up his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A very high madrega, obviously. Most of us are not on that madrega, but the statement says maybe that's what the Rambam means, maybe that's what the Torah means, that when a person fights, he shouldn't be worried, meaning not that he shouldn't know that he may die, but he shouldn't be worried about it. He shouldn't be depressed about it. He shouldn't be anxious about it. He should say, I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing the best I can. I'm serving God. This is all I can do in this world.
Is that martyrdom?
Sorry?
Like martyrs?
Well, you shouldn't be reckless about it. You shouldn't be deliberately giving up your life. You should be doing everything you can to save your life. But if you get killed, it's for a good cause. It's not... Right, martyrdom implies that you're throwing away your life. That the Torah does not tell you to do. The Torah tells you to do everything you can to every security measure. We'll discuss later about how far you have to go, how desperate measure should you take. But if a person dies, then it is a sort of martyrdom, but it's not as bloody-minded as the Islamic version. I try not to do it, but if I have to, then it doesn't bother me because it's like that Kedah. When Avram was asked to offer his son to Hashem, so he knew he felt he was doing the will of God. So even though it is martyrdom, it is a terrible thing to do, but insofar as a person believes this is what Hashem wants from him, he doesn't look forward to it. He doesn't go out of his way to look for opportunities to do that. He doesn't raise his children and tell them, "I hope that you can blow yourself up." But if Hashem wants it, if that's what happens, then sometimes that's what you have to do. So the Stifler is not sure how to understand the Rambam. He says, he says on the one hand, he can't really say that the Torah means you should be absolutely convinced you're going to win, because like we keep saying, it's not true. He says repeatedly, the Kohen himself tells the people. You can't be smarter than the Torah. If the Torah says the Kohen tells the nation, maybe you will die, then obviously maybe you will die, and you can't rule out the possibility. So he's much more inclined to say that the Rambam means, the Torah means, that don't be afraid, meaning don't let it destroy your morale, don't let it terrify you, don't let it alter, don't let it make you make bad decisions, don't flee. And especially as he pointed out earlier, the Rambam is not totally concerned, is not really concerned with the simple question of how you feel. The Rambam is concerned with how it affects the morale of the army. So people who are not made their peace with death, who are terrified of dying, who they will not fight well, and that can lead to the loss of the war. The soldiers have to be prepared to do whatever they can, whatever is reasonable to win the war. The Rambam is not telling you that don't have the rational possibility in your head that you will die. The Rambam is telling you, don't think about it. Don't worry about it. Intellectually, yes, there is a possibility, but you have a job. You have a duty. Your job is extremely important. The job you have to do of fighting well is of paramount importance, and it can lead to the security, to the safety, the victory in the entire war. So focus on the fact that your job right now is to win the war, and it doesn't mean that you believe naively that you're going to... That you're definitely going to live. You hope you're going to live. Hashem is going to help you, hopefully. And he is. He has done nisim for us. He is all powerful. You know, he can help you, but you can't. You're not necessarily going to expect it to be absolutely convinced you're going to win. But I'll call upon him. Here, the Rambam means, don't let it destroy your morale. Don't give up. Don't collapse. Fight the war and do it well.
Does it necessarily mean fear of death, or it could be fear of the afterlife? Because if it says fear after death, then Hashem can tell us...
You mean that he'll take care of you in Olam Haba? Right. That's another way to learn it. Hashem is telling you, even death is not the end of it. We believe in Olam Haba. We believe that everything that happens in this world, Hashem will balance the books.
And then he can tell you not to be afraid.
Right, that's a good point. He can tell you, don't be afraid, because in the long run, it's going to work out. In the long run, well, you'll get scarred for it, Hashem will repay. That's an interesting idea. I don't remember if I saw anybody making that point, but that is a powerful idea. So might be another way to learn, yeah. So the and other Akronim make this point too. I didn't see people explain it Yore, but the point I was making also, other Akronim say also of Yeruchim Fishel Perlau, famous Rabbi Perlau wrote a famous sefer. There's a Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a poem. He wrote all Tariq mitzvahs in poetry, a few words each. The whole thing is only a few thousand words, only. But it's one poem with all Tariq mitzvahs. So each mitzvah is only three words, six words, or something. So Rabbi Perlau wrote a three-volume work, thousands of pages, analyzing the poem. He has a few words and then pages of analysis on the mitzvah and what other Rishonim held about the mitzvah. So when he discusses one line in Rav Sadia Gaon, which seems to be maybe discussing this mitzvah of not being scared in a war, he's not actually sure it's a poem, so it's not always so clear. It's not even clear if he means this mitzvah, but he has a couple of pages discussing what this mitzvah means of not being afraid of the enemy. And again, he also says, the question we discussed in the Bar Brunel, how can you blame somebody, he says, for being afraid? Being afraid is just a frame of mind. What do you want him to do, he says? Sorry? Right. So Gabriel is pointing out that there are a number of other mitzvahs in the Torah where the Torah also seems to give us commandments about emotional states. The Torah tells us, one of the Torah's adibros, los achmod, los asave, not to lust after, not to covet things belonging to other people. How can the Torah give you mitzvahs there also? Also a problem. We'll get back to that in a minute, maybe. So Rabbi Perlau, though, over here says, he's medayek the language of the Rambam, that he says that, we read earlier, the Rambam says, a person is not supposed to be afraid when he engages in battle. And he says, who violates this law? What do you have to do to violate this law? He says, Lo yachshav, lo be'ishra, lo be'banav. A person should not think about his family. And he says, Kol ha'maschil lachshav u'lahar b'mulchama. Anyone who begins to think and to worry about these things, u'mavil atzmo, he scares himself and he discombobulates himself over below sase. He violates a lav. So Rabbi Perlau and other achronim say, the lav is not someone who has an instinctive natural fear. That's an onus. Putting aside the question from Los Achman, he says, the lav is someone who indulges in this fear, someone who continues to think about it, someone who brings himself to fear by dwelling on things that are outside the battle. That's the command. The person is commanded to put these things out of his head and not to think about it. Even that's not so easy. Even that can be pretty hard to do sometimes, to not think about something, but that at least is more within your control. If you're instinctively afraid, that's out of your control. The lav is not to actively think about these things and make yourself more scared than you already are. That's why they say, the Achronim say, Stifler, right, Perlau, they say that the Kohen who makes the announcement before the battle, first he says, Miha Isha Yari Barachaleva should go home. Anybody who's scared should go home. It doesn't sound like such a person is doing an Aveira already. The Gemara actually has two pshatim in what Yari Barachaleva means. One, there's machlokes between two Tanaim, Rabbi Yossi Glili and Rabbi Akiva, others, what Yari Barachaleva means. One of them says, literally, Pshuto, it means someone who's afraid. The other one said, Yari means he's scared of Averis. He knows he has Averis, and therefore he might not be successful in the battle. So the implication is, that the one who says Yari means literally, he's literally afraid. It's not an Aveira, just that he's afraid. So why is being afraid not an Aveira? The Rambam, Rabbi Yonah say that being afraid is an Aveira. So they say, because again, being afraid, just naturally, instinctively being afraid, is not an Aveira. That's just being a human being. People are afraid, they're not brave, so what can they do? The Aveira is only if you consciously, deliberately indulge your fear and you focus on these things and you make yourself more scared, that's the Aveira. But naturally being instinctively afraid is not an Aveira. Similarly, we mentioned that Barbanel earlier, who says, how can the Torah tell you not to be afraid? Being afraid is just an automatic, unconscious reaction. The Barbanel says, the Torah is commanding you to focus on focus on Hashem's power, and hopefully that will make you not be afraid. Again, we pointed out that's not a sufficient answer, because in spite of Hashem's power, you know that he's not always with us. He doesn't, for whatever reason, we don't always merit absolute success, but that's at least an attempt to answer the question. And I believe, I didn't have a chance to look it up, but I believe that the Marbel himself or others say similar things about Avas Hashem. The Torah says, V'ahavtai es Hashem Elokecha. You're supposed to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu many times. The Torah says you should love God. Again, love is a feeling. How can you be commanded to love somebody? Either you do or you don't. So again, there are those who say that love means, that the commandment to love God means a person should study the good Hashem did for us. He should read about the history of the Jews and all the good Hashem did, all the promises he kept us, all the great things he gave us, the Torah, Eretz Israel. A person, I guess, can think about his personal life, the successes that he's had, all the things that Hashem gave him that can't take for granted. So the commandment is to do what you can to bring yourself to a state of love of God. But a direct commandment to love is not such a simple thing. And you were asking about Lo Sisava and Lo Sachma too. They're also, I think, the Mepharshim give various explanations for why a person shouldn't want things. He should realize it's not good for him. Hashem didn't give it to him. Again, not a complete answer to the question. They're also Lo Sachma and Lo Sisava. There are shitas that the primary lav is don't take action based on that. Don't try to force him to sell it to you. But there are those who say that you're over the lav belev also by thinking about it, by feeling it. So again, it does need a better explanation. How can you be commanded not to have an emotion? His emotions are just natural, are just natural or automatic. So it does need further explanation for how the Torah can command us to feel a certain way.
I'm scared as a natural person in jazz. I'm that I'm in danger. And but after you barley through, what does that do?
It's okay to have an initial feeling, but the second reaction is, but Hashem is with us, he loves us, he loves us.
I think that's a fair point too, that a person starts out, that's I think partly included in what we were saying, that the instinctive, initial, automatic reaction is your animal, your reptilian, flee or fight or flee. All that is natural, but the person being human, he can transcend that. He can, like you said, he can think about things, which is what the Barbanel said. He can steel himself. He can think about the importance of fighting bravely. And that is what makes us human, the ability not to do just whatever. And I think that's all included in what we're saying. That's the commandment. Not that you should automatically only fail the right thing, but that you should control it and overcome it. That's the famous famous aphorism in that they say about battle too, that a brave man is not someone who's not afraid. That's a fool. A fool is not afraid. A brave man is someone who is afraid but controls his fear and does what he has to do anyway. He does, again, we're not saying margin, we're not saying you should deliberately kill yourself, but you know that even though I'm afraid, I still have a job to do, and my job is important. And if my job is important enough that I have to overcome my fear, so I do that as a matter of discipline. And I think to some extent, these are all different ways of expressing the different facets of the same idea. That's what the Torah wants. The Torah wants us, and again, according to many Mepharshim, not necessarily to believe that I'll be okay, because I don't know if I'll be okay, but what the Torah wants us is to control and overcome and keep the fear in check and do what I need to do anyway.
Now, this is in the general category of Ashgacha. This is a general category of Ashgacha. You know, you don't worry, because even if it goes bad, it's good. Right?
So yeah, we'll return to the idea of the Hashgacha, of the Hashgacha. We'll return to that a little bit later, at more length. Yes, about whether it's good, why it's good. That's the thing I want to get to a little bit later. So keep that in mind. I want to just discuss, before closing with the Hashgacha, I want to just discuss one other very interesting aspect of the halachic aspect of fear, also from this week's Parsha, a very different question, not about fear of soldiers in battle. The Torah says that when, at the beginning of Parshas Devarim, it talks about the appointment of judges, so the Torah says you should appoint judges, they should be honest, they should be uncorruptible. And the Torah says, Shema ben Achechem, they should hear cases between Jews, Ushpatim Tzedek, they should judge honestly, justly, Lo Sakiru Panim, you should not be partial, you should not be biased, Lo Saguru Mipneish. Lo Saguru is a strange word, not a common word in Hebrew. Lo Saguru. So So there are several different pshatim. Rashi, the Midrashim bring different pshatim. One of the pshatim in Lo Seguru is, you shall not be afraid. The Sifri, the Midrash Sifri says, Dabar Achar brings several pshatim. One of the pshatim is, Shema Tomer. Maybe the Dayan, the judge will say, I'm afraid of so-and-so, Shema Yehariges B'ni, he'll kill my son. According to some text in the Medrash, he'll kill me, the Medrash even says. Shema Yadlik Eskadishi, maybe he'll destroy my property. A little anticlimactic. First he'll kill my child, then he'll burn down my property. Shema Yikatit Tiyosai, he'll cut down my trees. I'll have financial harm, I'll have personal harm, my family. What could be worse than a threat? You know, this is what the mob does. You know, they threaten to kill your family if you don't cooperate with them. Talmud Lomar, Lo Seguru Pneish. The Torah says, Lo Seguru, do not be afraid. So what does this really mean? Ben Yonah also says, again, in Shari Tshuva, he says, you have to believe, again, his language is very strong, he says, you have to believe, Shelo Yikrenu Nezek, nothing bad will happen to me because of doing justice. Shluch HaMitzvah Einem Nizakim. Those who are working on a mitzvah will not be harmed, and Hashem will take care of you, and then nothing bad will happen to you. So here again, we have discussion of the postgame. What does this really mean? If a Dayan has a credible threat, you know, the organized crime figure, the cartels, the mob, someone tells you, don't take this case, don't rule against me. If you do, you know, then I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your family. Is a Dayan really obligated to put that aside and do justice, even at the risk of a credible threat to his family? So the consensus of the postgame is no. Not necessarily. There are really two questions. The question is, can you rule incorrectly? Can you rule in favor of the mobster because he's threatening to kill you? Or at least, can you not take the case? So putting aside the question of ruling incorrectly for a moment, just not taking the case, the strong consensus of postgame is that if there really is a credible threat to your life or to your family's life, then this law of Lo Seguru does not apply. Person, we know that in all of Torah there are only three mitzvahs, generally speaking, there are only three averus that a person is obligated to give up his life for: avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shfichas damim, idol worship, certain types of sexual immorality, and murder. Everything else is b'chai b'hem. A person is supposed to save his life, even if it means chil Shabbos or any other avera. So most posts can say that a person is not mechuyev to risk his life in order to do justice. What about the Sifri? The Sifri says pretty clearly, Shema Yehariges B'ni. So, not so clear. Some people understand the Sifri to mean that Shema Yehariges is a very remote, very, not a clear and credible danger. It means you're worried. You're just worried anything could happen. But if there's really a credible, realistic danger, that's not what the Sifri is talking about. There are achronim, though. There are several achronim who seem to say that the Dayan has to do justice, even if there is a significant risk to himself. There's a Bach. The Bach is going on a comment of the Marivail. The Marivail was a late German Rishon, about 15th century. The Marivail says that even though we have a chiyuv to do justice, we have a chiyuv to reprove sinners, to tell sinners that they're wrong, that they shouldn't do averus. Marivail says in his time the Rabban and the Dayanim weren't so meticulous about this. They let sin go. They turned aside. They didn't always protest when sins were committed. So he says, why? How can we do that? Don't we have a mitzvah to uphold Torah, uphold justice? So he says, unfortunately, we can't. The evildoers are so brazen, so outrageous today that if we start off with them, if we give them a hard time, they will endanger us.
15th century,
yeah. They'll endanger us. They'll turn us into the Gentile government. Because they're going to get us in trouble, we're not mechuyev to protest. So, yes, that's a good point. We'll discuss that a little bit further in a moment, but the sinners in question were Jewish sinners. The question is, was the trouble going to be their own power, or they were going to involve the non-Jewish people? That's going to be an important point we'll get to in a minute. So the Bach says, how can the Marivail say that just because you're worried about consequences, you're allowed to drop the idea of enforcing justice? He says, what happened to the Sifri? The Sifri says that even if there's a danger of death, a person is mechuyev to uphold justice, uphold the law. So first he wants to distinguish between menage and lamach, menage and lachavero. He says, upholding Hashem's mitzvahs, if it's dangerous, you don't have to do it. That's what Marval was talking about. People did different averus, they did, you know, they didn't keep Shabbos or something, they didn't eat kosher. We don't have to start up with them because if there's a danger to our life. However, he says, menage and lachavero, if they're oppressing other people, they're cheating and stealing from other people, then he says, there's no choice, that's the job of the diet, is to stick up for other people no matter what. And there's no excuse, even if there's a danger to our lives, at least a suffix danger to our lives, then we have to do it, even if there's some risk to our life. Another distinction he says is that, what you alluded to, he says that Jews, even if they're Rishon, even if they're not Erlich, they're not upright people, a Jew is still a Jew. At the end of the day, we're not so worried a Jew is really going to do something that's so terrible to you. So, but he says, once they're going to bring in the government, once they're going to turn you into the government has no bounds. There are no limits to their cruelty and the evil they can do to you. So once they're involved, that's a much more credible sakana. So here he seems to be distinguishing again between levels of sakana. If there's a real likelihood of sakana because the non-Jews are involved, then you can abstain. But if it's just Jews, apparently there's not such a realistic possibility of sakana. Very hard to measure and to give practical guidance for what, you know, there are plenty of Jewish mobsters around beginning of the 20th century too, so it's difficult to know, to define on these, according to these rules, what's considered a realistic and credible threat and what's not. In the Bach's first shot, though, he seems to be assuming that even if there is a credible threat, if it's not Machavero, if it's a question of saving another Jew, that is the Dayan's job to step in, even if there's some risk. It's difficult to understand. The Bach himself says earlier that the Ikar LaHalacha is, doesn't mention the Sifri, but he says the Ikar LaHalacha is that a person is not mechuyev to risk his life for upholding justice. And again, most of the Karim say you're not mechuyev to, but the Bach, at least in this passage, seems, based on the Sifri, seems to have at least some possibility that lo seguru, don't be afraid, don't be intimidated by tough guys, means that the Dayan's job is to enforce justice, to enforce the law, even if there's some risk to himself.
If there is risk to one, there's going to be risk to everyone.
I'm sorry?
If there is a risk to one Dayan, there's going to be a risk to all Dayanim.
Right.
So in that case, there will be just uphold justice. There's no justice.
Yes, so that's a very good point. And that is a point that's made by other Akhbarim too. The Sefer Ulam HaMishpah makes this point. He says, it's one thing to say, you know, today I won't fight, I'll come back another day. But if you allow people to intimidate judges, if you allow people to intimidate Bat Adin will say, okay, we're not doing this, then there's no Mishpat bar. So you're destroying the whole possibility of Mishpat. So that is exactly the point that some Akhbarim make. That the whole, you know, you have what happens, unfortunately, in some countries where the force of the law is too weak and the criminals are too powerful, and the entire bedrock of civilization collapses.
Right.
And yes, and some Akhbarim make this point, that's why the Torah here has to make an exception. This is another case, even though it's not exactly one of the three cardinal averus here. Some Akhbarim say that there has to be an idea that a Dayan, that's his whole job, that his job is to enforce the law, to enforce justice, even at the possible risk to himself.
Clarify a point some of the points that you make. That if you are in danger, if you're threatened, you should consider it and perhaps withdraw maybe from the gate because you're not going to put yourself in danger. But you said if another party is involved, I'm not sure I understand. Dayan is usually, Dayan is not going to be trying his own case. So,
absolutely not.
So what is the point being made that if somebody else is at risk? I'm not sure if I understand.
I didn't mean to mail, I meant.
I didn't understand.
The distinction I meant to make was that, let's say someone is, keep this door open on Shabbos. So as the Dayan, as the Rav, it's your job to tell him not to do this. You have to keep Shabbos. So he tells you, leave me alone, Rabbi, it's my business. I want to keep my door open on Shabbos. If you don't leave me alone, if you start trying to do boycotts and making me stop, I'm going to get you in trouble. So there, some posts can say that because no other Jew is being heard, it's just Hashem's Torah is not being kept, you can say, all right, you know, I can't uphold Shabbos, I can't force him to keep Shabbos because I'm going to be in trouble. But if it's a court case and the mobster is in court against a regular businessman and he's trying to cheat a businessman, and the mobster tells you that if you if you rule in favor of the other guy, I'm going to burn down your house and kill you, or kill you. So there, if you drop the case, then the mobster wins and the innocent civilian loses. There, it's your job to stick up for the innocent person. So you can't just say, I'm not going to take the case, because someone's going to be hurt. Another Jew is going to lose, not going to have his rights upheld. So there you have a theo. Some person can say, like Adrian was saying, that otherwise you're destroying the whole bedrock of justice and of the fairness and of the rights of citizens. So, you know, Hashem will worry about Shabbos. Shabbos, Kasher, Hashem will take care of his own mitzvahs. But when it comes to Madlach Neira, when it comes to upholding law and order and the rights of honest citizens, it's the Dayan's job, no matter what. Some person can say, step in and take the case, even if there's some risk to himself.
Okay, so the exemption, if you are at risk, is fairly limited.
Yes. Well, there are posts who say that no matter what, a dying always has the right to drop the case. Many posts can, perhaps most posts can say that it's not limited, that you never have to take a case if there's any risk to... but again, like Adrian's
including
saying...
Including the case you just mentioned.
Including the case I just mentioned,
which
yes.
is that if...
So mobsters in court with a businessman...
And it's involving other people.
Right, you can say, look, I feel bad, I feel terrible that he's going to win, but you know, I can't let them kill my kid. You know, I can't do this. I can't give up my family, my life, my family for the... What are you supposed to do? That's the problem. What's going to happen then if the guy is strong enough? If he's an organized crime figure, no one's gonna be able to be victorious. I don't know. That's a big problem. But that's what we're saying. Yes. So Yonatan Hatchetz also seems to say that halacha, at least once the dying takes the case, before he takes the case, he can say, I'm not going to take the case, maybe. But after he takes the case, then you have the decree, no matter what. Once you have the case, once it's in your docket, once you've started the case, you cannot give it up, no matter what. Even if there is some risk to yourself. And again, some folks can say this is only where the risk is minimal or relatively unlikely, but if there's a real credible threat, it's different. But not everyone agrees to that.
Okay, all right, so you just clarified that your and your family's security at any point in a case can trump...
According to many or most posts, yeah. And there is perhaps the most important proponent of the view that even at risk to yourself, you are mechuyev to take the case, is a tshuva of Rav Aaron Wolkin, the Count Aaron, famous Rav of Pinsk, 80 years ago. He says, the Torah told you, lo segur pe'yesh. It's true that normally we say that everything in the Torah is trumped by the Kuch Nefer. But here the Torah explicitly told you, even Lo Segur, that's the job of the Dayan. That's his entire job. His entire job is to enforce justice against people who don't want to listen. That is the job definition. Like you were saying, that civilization depends on that. And he's perhaps the most forceful and eloquent proponent of the idea that it's the Dayan's job, no matter what, to take the case, even if there's some risk to himself. It's an interesting idea. Some posts can say this is only if there's a fairly low level of risk, but even then, the idea that certain mitzvahs have built-in exemptions, so for example, the Torah told us to wipe out Amalek, the Torah told us to wipe out, to wage war against the Canaanites. So the question is, but it's dangerous. First, you know, we said before, in battles people died. So what happened? So the post can explain, okay, but the Torah told you to wage that, to wage war anyway. So the Torah is telling you that even though this is not one, these mitzvahs of invading Canaan, conquering Canaan, destroying Amalek are not one of the three Averis which are normally override Pikuach Nefesh. Here, the Torah told you that they are anyway. There was a great debate in the 19th century. Some of the European governments, they were worried about certain diseases that people looked dead, but they weren't really dead. They were just, they had fainted, or people were getting buried alive. Some of the European governments passed a rule, no burials within 3 days of death. You have to first let the body sit out 3 days. And that's against halacha. Halacha is supposed to bury right away. So the postman generally did not want people to follow this law. So the question is, but why? But there is a small risk that you might kill a person by burying him alive. And some postman explained that since the Torah said bury a person right away, inherent in that is automatically that there's some very small, but some minute level of risk that you're actually burying an innocent person. Some Pesukim said the Torah felt that because the risk is so low and the mitzvah of burial is important, the Torah is telling you, do it anyway. Or Mila.
Doesn't the Torah tell you how to determine if the mace is really a mace? With the feather, whatever the...
Yeah, the halacha gives us certain guidance, but at the end of the day, it's not absolutely foolproof. Mistakes can be made, but there comes a point where to do otherwise is to mevatel the whole idea of Torah. Another example is Mila. Mila always carries some risk. The Torah tells you to do it anyway. Some person can say that you see, you don't do milah if there's a real danger, if there's a major danger, but at least if there's a small danger, a small amount of danger, the Torah said do it anyway. So some person can say here too, if there's a small possibility of risk, you have to do it anyway. If there's a real risk, again, most person can say if there's a real risk, you don't have to do it. What's going to happen to justice? I don't know. But again, there is a minority view of the poskim that even if there's a real risk, the dayan has to do justice anyway. So running out of time, I'll just return to what Adrian said before. What is the hashkafa here? What is the theology of bitachon? We said earlier, many achronim point out you can't be commanded to believe that things will definitely be good. They're not always good. Sometimes things happen that are not good. One point, of course, is the point that you made, that person can believe that in the long run Hashem balances his books. In the long run, we believe in the afterlife, and whatever happens to a person in this world, Hashem will take care of him in the next. But in general, there is a famous discussion of the Chazon Ish. He wrote a sefer called Emunah Bitachon. He says very strongly, Bitachon does not mean the things will happen the way I want them to happen. You cannot be expected to believe the things will. We don't have Nevuah, he says. We just don't know. If there's a risk of danger, we don't know what will happen. We can't know what will happen. Bitachon means the belief that, like you said, Hashkacha, that Hashem is taking care of us, that everything he does is for the good, the next world, or even in this world, that Hashem has a plan for us and Hashem runs the world. And that we're not abandoned. We're not simply left to cold, heartless nature. The Chazon Ish is very controversial. Many people have pointed out that there are many psukim and many chazals which do seem to indicate that bitachon means the belief and the trust in Hashem that things will be well even in the short term, even for the foreseeable future, not just that in the long term Hashem will work things out, but that if a person's sick, bitachon believes he'll get better. You believe that you'll survive the battle. So many achronim do say that there are many psukim and many gemaras. I'm not going to have time to get into them, but many people challenge the Chazon Ish and say that there is apparently an idea that bitachon means that things will be well, even the immediate situation you're concerned about. So the Chazon Ish is difficult to know. And again, but the problem is that it's also very difficult to understand how the Torah can command you to believe something which is factually not correct. We know things are not always well. So I don't have a good answer to these questions, and we're out of time, so I'll
just... Chazon Ish is talking about the future. Things will work out in the future.
We're talking about a person sick. So a person is, a person's in the war. I'd be talking that I'll win the war. I'd be talking that I'll survive. I'd be talking that the child will get better. He says, Chazon Ish, you can't do it. How can you believe for sure? You can hope, you can trust Hashem could do it, but how can you believe that he will? He might not. Be talking means trust and feeling tranquil, knowing that Hashem is taking care of you, knowing that I'm in Hashem's hands and that he's in control. So I don't have to worry.
That whatever happened is for the best.
Right.
Whether or not it's
right.
What you wanted.
Right. Hashem is taking care of you, and then Hashem is doing it right, so don't worry about it. Even if it might not be what you would like, but Hashem is taking care of you. But again, many others say that it's not like that. That you see in the Torah, that you're talking like David HaMelech says, I'm not going to die. I will win this war because Hashem is with me. So we're out of time. I don't have a good answer to these questions, but these are difficult questions, and the answers are much less easy to figure out than the questions are to ask.